Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, and of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This too is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not risen here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, and trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. I have to tell you, I plan on doing a lot of swallowing today. Now, the first one is an apology. I may have to swallow quite a bit of water during the sermon to keep the voice clear of the wonderful allergies. However, That's not what I was primarily thinking of. Well, there's plenty of the Easter goodies to be swallowed today. There is that fantastic Easter feast prepared by my mother-in-law with help of father-in-law and wonderfully complemented by the rest of the family's favorite side dishes. Of course, I'm looking forward to swallowing some of that wonderful dessert that Kim's made and, if tradition holds, probably swallowing a glass or two of nice wine. It's a day of great joy and feasting after the somberness of Lent. But as great as our joy and as much as we might swallow today, our feast is nothing compared to our Lord's. On this day, Isaiah says, he swallowed up death forever. The death that swallows us, the death that devours us, is now itself devoured and swallowed up by our Savior. The life of our Lord's resurrection has completely engulfed and eclipsed death, so that death's power now lies dead. God had promised it. Isaiah had prophesied it, and Jesus has done it. And so the angels announced to the women who went to the tomb to finish his burial, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And what did the angels hear in reply? "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." No. Because you see, this good news of great joy was simply too much for the women to swallow. The women went out and fled from the tomb. Trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What? These ladies were trembling, bewildered, and afraid. Why? They had just heard that their friend, their leader, their Messiah is alive. They just heard that he was going ahead of them, that he would meet them. He would meet the others as well, just as he had said multiple times when he predicted his death. He always mentioned his resurrection. And yet, the women went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's a pretty crazy reaction. It's a pretty crazy way for the Gospel of Mark to end. But the Gospel of Mark probably also gives us the clearest gut reaction to this first proclamation of the resurrection. I mean, how would you react? The one you saw die a cruel death with your own eyes, the one whose body you helped lay in the tomb already, he's alive? Really, take a step back. Think about it. Like many of you, I've celebrated Easter my entire life. I have heard and believed the message of Jesus' resurrection as far back as my memory goes. To me, it's a settled fact of life. It's not a startling new reality to me or to many of you either. But what about that first day? What about when it was really a jarring new reality? What do you think? What would cause more confusion and bewilderment? To learn that someone near you had just died, or to learn the one that you loved had come back to life? Which would be more confusing, to hear of death or of resurrection? And we know which one causes more pain, but which one is far more unexpected and really far more unsettling? These three women who went to Jesus' tomb on Easter morning were also near the cross when he died. His death brought them great sorrow and probably disappointment. And as an added layer of grief, they were wrestling with the fact that this kind, loving Jesus could be so feared and so hated by their leaders that they would actually have him killed. But death itself, unlikely that that startled them too much. They were familiar with death. And think about what these women had come to do when they encountered the angel that first Easter morning. They had come to put spices on the corpse of Jesus. To do this, they were prepared to continue to handle his dead body. That was pretty common. People were used to it. No nice, sterile funeral homes with licensed morticians in those days. They were used to handling dead bodies, just as they were used to death being all around. Today, we do spend a lot of money for somebody else to handle the body. We spend a lot of money to pay others to make a corpse look as lifelike as possible. It's one way to try to deal with the pain of death. But as hard as it is, death, it's not unexpected for us either. Especially as we age, as we see many of our family and friends going before us. Even though we would like to avoid it, it does not surprise us to see death notices, to read obituaries, or to turn on the news and hear about sad, tragic ends of life. Death is not a surprise. Our funerals, they've always been successful. That phrase comes from the sainted Dr. Gorenz, Pastor Fonda always called him Doctor. Pastor Gorenz had a wonderfully dry and witty sense of humor. And when asked how a funeral went, he would say it was successful. And when he got that sort of weird look, his follow-up was, because you know, when Jesus was walking on earth, not all funerals were successful. A successful funeral, it's not strange to us. What is strange to us is resurrection, life coming out of death. Having a dead one, loved one, come back to life and walk on earth in his human body to eat and to talk with people just as Jesus did, that's really different. That's startling. I've never seen it. You haven't either. So we shouldn't be surprised that the gut reaction of these women is terror, fear, disturbing, being afraid. Now, Mark doesn't include it. We have the other Gospels to continue the story for us. This fear-induced silence, it obviously gave way because the women did report to the other disciples what they had been told. And those disciples couldn't believe it either. It just didn't seem right. Rise from the dead? Jesus had tried to tell them that that's what would happen, but the message never really quite had registered in their thinking. That's why when Jesus did appear to the disciples, he had to demonstrate again and again that it was really him, that he really had physically, bodily risen from the dead. He would eat in their presence to assure them that it is he. In fact, Paul mentions, as we heard in our epistle reading, that Jesus even appeared to 500 of the brothers at the same time, many of whom were still living when Paul wrote, who were still living eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. But the disciples likely didn't realize right away the huge implication this had on their lives. They just knew that this makes life really different. Later, they would come to realize just the total startling new reality that's unleashed by this resurrection of Christ, a dynamic that changed their lives and changes ours as well. Here are some of the things that are new because of it. Jesus' resurrection means you can be assured your sins have been forgiven. His resurrection showed that his death was a sufficient penalty for all your sin. His resurrection unites us with the Father in such a way that we are no longer enemies of God, even though that's what we are by our own human nature. Jesus' resurrection means that for you, you also will rise from the dead. Later on in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Even though we will fall asleep, which, by the way, becomes the reference for death after the resurrection, we will be made alive again as Christ is living. Christ's resurrection means that everything about your life right now has been changed. It is new. You have a certain hope based on a new reality that even death cannot destroy. Every day right now is lived with a certainty that my Redeemer lives. He lives, as we sing in the hymn, to bless me with his love, to help in time of need, to grant me rich supply, to guide me with his eye, to hear my soul's complaint, to wipe away my tears, and so forth. But because Jesus is alive, there's one more thing that actually many people find hard to swallow. As we come forward today to take part in communion, we are receiving an incredible gift. While Jesus instructs his disciples to do this in remembrance of me, it's not just a trip down memory lane where we somehow in our minds put us in that upper room. But rather, as we receive the bread and the wine as Jesus instituted the supper, as we chew and swallow, we are receiving the resurrected and living Lord into our very bodies in a very unique and special way. We receive Christ into our bodies, and we are being transformed from the inside out. No, it's not some magical Disney trail of lights that swirl around us and transform us into some princes and princesses. It's far better than that. As we receive the crucified and risen Christ, we are receiving the victory over death that Isaiah had prophesied. As we receive the living Christ, we receive the one who swallowed up death and shares his life with us. As we receive the living Christ, we are united, as we'll sing after the sermon, to the vine, Jesus, who flows in us and produces good fruit in us. As we receive the resurrected and living Christ, the words of Isaiah are fulfilled. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And as we receive the resurrected and living Christ, we are again assured that no matter what we are facing in life, from the good and wonderful things like a magnificent Easter meal with family, or even if we're dealing with the mourning and loneliness of a first Easter without a loved one, our resurrected Christ is with us. And in all times and in all circumstances, the Bible says, because we have Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As we receive the resurrected and living Christ, we can say with Paul that I am certain that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.